Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
My goal is just to have a better show than I had last week.
I think you were fine. You were a little hard on yourself for small things, but overall you were fine.
I'm super critical of myself, Mike. It's who I am.
For better or for worse. All good.
All right, let's hit the open now. Wrestling Inside the Ropes is presented by Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out for all of your holiday toy shopping. Mike Riley, I think the most interesting story from the week was the 21-minute in-ring confrontation between CM Punk and MJF. CM Punk opened Wednesday's Dynamite, preparing for his match with QT Marshall. Again, they're trying to make me care about QT Marshall. But MJF came out instead. Following the promo, Punk defeated Marshall, as if there was any doubt in that. And CM Punk is still undefeated at 7-0 in All Elite Wrestling. I think Punk was on my TV for about 40 minutes. The first 40 minutes of the show, there was something CM Punk related. I'm not sure when Punk and MJF are actually going to have their fight. But the promo this week and the promos that are going to be leading up to this match, whenever it is, whether it's Battle for the Belts, whether it's New Year, Winter's Coming, something like that, the promos are going to be incredible. And I think we got a sample of that on Wednesday night. So, Mike, before, I have three samples of this, and we're going to chirp over them and react to each one of them. But just give me your general thought on the MJF CM Punk promo battle.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Jimmy, I thought when CM Punk had his little one-on-one feud with Eddie Kingston, I think that was the beginning of how CM Punk is beginning to take off here. And this brought it to a whole new level with MJF. This was a promo that we have never seen before, in my opinion, I think. The way AEW, and we're going to hear the clips and so forth, so I won't jump on too much for right now. But the fact of them, these two guys, MJF and CM Punk, bringing up WWE talent in here. And I just like, wow. I had to think about this. Two guys going face-to-face, really intense, and had me in that moment there with the exception of CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, the most recent one I could think of, almost like a great face-to-face. I had to think of like The Rock and John Cena from a few years back. Remember in 2010, 2011, those two were really face-to-face. You know, and it just really had that passion there where these two had so much animosity, if you will. And you got to wonder, is there some real animosity there between CM Punk and MJF for that matter? They made me believe. They brought that to me here. And that's a credit to both of those guys on the microphone. And I think that is awesome for MJF and CM Punk to have this feud. The question is now, when do they have the payoff? Do they have it at Battle of the Belts in January, or do you build that up until the next pay-per-view in February for AEW? But
Mike, they could do it as soon as Winter is Coming, and that's in like 2 weeks, I think.
Absolutely. So, you know what? I think sooner the better, right? This is great for
because
television.
Because there could be a longer-term plan here. So say CM Punk gets the win in whenever their Winter is Coming show. It's somewhere in December, right? So say Punk gets the win there, but MJF gets the AEW belt off of Adam Page before Punk gets a title shot, right?
Yep.
So now you can build something towards a pay-per-view where it's Punk and MJF, and maybe MJF wins the title defense. Like there's some... I kind of want to see CM Punk get a loss here somewhere. And MJF has the potential to do that. But we'll see. We'll see.
Winter is coming.
And that, that's kind of exciting, is the idea that your promos and this promo exceeded my expectations for it.
Yeah.
And what else is coming? Because there's an element where I think MJF wants to go, and he might go. And that, because, I mean, this was 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they didn't go. There's a bullet in the chamber, so to speak, that MJF has. And it'll make the crowd go, ooh.
Yeah.
And I think that relates to AJ Lee, CM Punk's wife.
Mm.
Right? And I think that that's the bullet in MJF's chamber that they're waiting on. And obviously that would be, all this stuff is approved. You know, it's got to be run by Tony Khan. The talent's got to be on board with it. So it's got to be okay with them. So if it doesn't come, if MJF doesn't use that bullet in the chamber, then we know that that's like where we've gone too far. But if we get it, ooh, it's going to be good, because I don't know what CM Punk's retort would be to that.
Yeah, this has got to be a good payoff no matter when it happens and how it happens, because MJF, he's getting that push there. Only matter time, I think, before he is AEW champion. I think within the next year, where he's probably going to have the title. CM Punk, I think he'll have a run for number one contender at some point. I know right now it's Brian Danielson who was the number one contender, but at some point he'll be right in that mix there. And this is right there. I'd put these guys 1A below that AEW championship for contention.
The exciting thing though, Mike, is that we have like legitimate, we can look at the AEW championship board and go, I dig that match. I dig that match. I dig that match. I dig that match.
Yep.
So they've got a line of them, and they've moved Adam Cole into more of a tag team role right now with Bobby Fish. You know, there's an Adam Cole Hangman Page match that excites me. Page and Danielson excites me. Page and Punk excites me. Mm-hmm. Page and MJF excite me. So there's a few things there. Page and Omega rematch, that excites me. Things like that. Let's play chunk one of this CM Punk promo. Now, so I'm picking it up right where CM Punk has grabbed the microphone and is retorting MJF. Because I think that, like, as much as I would love to play all 20 minutes of this, I don't think that that's in the best. So here's chunk one. MJF has just done his thing. Here is CM Punk's rebuttal.
I'm so disappointed in you.
Ooh, he's so disappointed.
Let's not start there. Let's show our guest a little bit of Chicago hospitality. I want to thank you first and foremost for last week.
Cheap pop.
You introduced yourself to me. That's what a proper young man is supposed to do to their elders. And I had no idea your first name was Maxwell. This entire time, I thought MJF stood for my jealous fan.
Ooh.
See, I got the time. Seems like it still kind of does, doesn't it? If you're so hung up on the fact that I never mentioned you anytime I did press. Anytime I ever did an interview, I never brought your name up. Well, that was by design. The last thing I wanted to do is feed your rotten little ego.
That's
look at me, Maxwell.
Way.
I'm in your head. Probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a poster of me on your wall.
Ooh, zinga.
Same in my office.
Doesn't
you got it.
The fact that I'm disappointed, because I've always heard about the great MJF. And then last week, I did what nobody else in this industry, nobody else in AEW has been able to do. I shut up the great MJF without saying a word.
It's impressive.
And you had 7 days. You had a whole week to think of good zingers, and you came out here with the lowest hanging fruit. He thinks he's somebody. He thinks what he does is revolutionary to the wrestling business, when in reality, he's just a less famous Miz.
Oh.
The Miz line was great.
It was good.
The hair, the wannabe actor thing, the Rosie O'Donnell thing, like it all makes sense. A less famous Miz was a brilliant line by CM Punk.
Yeah, but you know what? Like WWE, obviously, they don't do this stuff. WWE doesn't acknowledge. They wouldn't really do it like this here over and over. You're going to hear more of it. And it's like, wow, you guys are really going after them here. I mean, there's more to it, obviously. But you know, I like The Miz. I'm sorry. I took that a little.
I like The Miz, too.
Yeah, I was like, come on. What did The Miz do wrong to you?
WrestleMania in Atlanta.
Yeah, but come on.
WrestleMania in Atlanta. Here's the Miz CM Punk story. CM Punk was the hottest thing going with the Straight Edge Society stuff. He's in a match with Randy Orton. That was the best match on that show.
Mm.
Miz is the world champion, main eventing against John Cena and becoming the second villain ever to walk out as the world champion.
With help from The Rock.
With help from The Rock.
Yeah.
Of course, Triple H being the first villain to walk out in the main event as the world champion at WrestleMania 2000, right? So CM Punk's thing at that time was, that should have been me. That should have been my main event. Mm. And I love CM Punk at the time, so I agreed with him. The Miz thing, I never became a fan. This quick little sidebar.
Yeah.
When I saw the Miz open for his main event entrance, I was like, got it. I'm in. Like the Miz. I'm in. I'm in on the Miz.
Right.
I'm in on the Miz. And have been pretty much ever since.
Mm.
So I think that's where that point of bitterness is for CM Punk. But if you look at the profile of Miz did, I'm sorry, if you look at the profile of MJF, MJF did the Rosie O'Donnell show. He did the song and dance thing and made headlines on the New York Post and so on and so on and so on. So I think that's kind of where that line comes from. To your point, Mike, about WWE would never do that. They would in spots. So when they would be trailing in ratings, WCW, or there was something that they felt was an inside thing, but would get to that crowd, like Paul Heyman will do stuff like that. Because Paul Heyman has creative liberty, creative freedom to do things like that. But your point about it being an exception rather than a rule is valid here.
Mm-hmm.
This also goes to ECW would do stuff like this all the time because it's what the fan base is in on every joke, or enough of the percentage of the fan base is in on every joke. That's what the ECW fan was.
And the reaction.
The reaction, yep. Because it's timing. So remember ECW One Night Stand?
Mm-hmm.
You would have Paul Heyman in there cutting the promo. Triple H, JBL's been the longest reigning champion because Triple H doesn't want to work Tuesdays. Ooh.
Right.
Hey, Edge, I've got two words for you. Matt freaking Hardy, which is actually three words, but work with me here.
Yeah.
Insider stuff like that. And that, because that caters to that audience that knows, or you know, most of that audience knows everything. And so that's what AEW does, is they assume that it's the details in it, Mike. It's the details. Yeah. And AEW assumes you know all the details. And based on the people who go to these shows, they do know all the details, or they know enough of them where it's acceptable and they get the proper reaction.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Mm. All right. You want to hear more?
This is awesome.
Skipped ahead a few minutes to part of Maxwell's rebuttal.
What happened to the guy I grew up on, man? What happened to the renegade, the ass kicker, the outsider? Because you might as well be coming out here preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Which CM Punk did at the pay-per-view. He did the You Can't See Me and the Cena comeback. I thought that was a good line by MJF.
It played into
the pay-per-view match.
And just so subtle with the Cena dig.
Except here's the problem, PG. I can see you.
So MJF called him PG Punk.
I can see through you, buddy. You claimed you'd only come back for the younger town, and yet you also claimed you'd only come back for a boatload of money. You claimed you couldn't fix professional wrestling from your couch in Chicago, and yet you stayed put on that couch for 7 long years. Excuse after excuse not to come back, poor K-Punk. Why? Is it because you were too busy making comic books nobody read and movies nobody saw?
The horror movies were good.
Or is it because you were terrified? Scared you couldn't hang anymore? Maybe scared you never could hang in the first place? And I have the microphone, Chicago!
Cheap heat.
Awesome heat for that.
And I'm here to tell you, you should be scared, man.
Whatever gets booze, I'm in.
In the other company, these people looked at you like a cult hero because they felt you were held down. You should have been utilized and showcased as the number one guy.
Fact, not opinion.
Mm. And now, great. And now here you are. You have all the opportunity to prove these people right, but can you?
It's a good question.
Mm. Do you people think CM Punk can do it?
Hell yeah.
That's an easy way to get a hello, or hell
I'm
yeah,
glad
rather.
They think crowd that interaction. Now, Punk, but are they going to feel that way in a month, 2 months, a year? I don't envy you, man, but I know you
That's
envy
a good point
me.
In there.
And I know why you don't like me, PG Punk. I know why. It's because I represent everything about this business that you hate.
This is a good point.
I'm every single thing you hate because I was born for this. Oh, yeah. I'm a clean-cut professional. I'm every single wrestling analyst, promoter, and pundit's wet dream. While you, on the other hand, were a scrawny, tatted-up misfit from the dumpiest part of the Midwest known as Chicago.
More cheap heat.
It's a good dig. But there's truth in what he says.
You had to work your tail off to become the man you are today, and I commend you for that. But I know what keeps you up at night. I know what eats you up inside. It's the fact that after all your hard work, all your blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice you've given this sport, deep down you know it, and these people know it. Your whole career, you've been nothing more than second best.
Mm-hmm. He's right.
Well, whether it was the You Can't See Me Man or the King of Kings. You were never quite up to snuff, were you? And I can assure you, now that you're standing in my ring, in my company, things will be no different because you may claim to be the best in the world, but I'm better than you. And you know it.
So, Mike, there's a lot of good in there. And the key is that where's the lie that MJF has thrown out there?
Well, yeah, the Triple H and the John Cena thing. Exactly. And also
and to dig into the details of those two digs in particular.
Yeah.
Triple H CM Punk wins the world title from John Cena in Chicago at Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Triple H then comes out of retirement to beat CM Punk on a random pay-per-view, right? Mm-hmm. And then goes back into retirement.
Right.
So Punk wins the title at Money in the Bank and then runs out of the crowd. We all remember it. It's one of the greatest matches in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back 2 weeks later and they do SummerSlam where it's John Cena's belt against CM Punk's belt.
Yep.
CM Punk wins that match with Triple H as the referee. Triple H then, I think, pedigrees CM Punk. Out comes Randy Alberto Del Rio with the briefcase. Cash in. Alberto Del Rio is your world champion leaving SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Now, here comes Triple H out of retirement just to beat CM Punk because CM Punk was too hot. He was doing mainstream interviews the whole nine yards. But what happened was CM Punk's merchandise was that much better. It was the first time that anybody had beaten John Cena's merchandise, and it was CM Punk's merchandise that did it, right? So they pivot from Del Rio, who was a Triple H favorite.
Yep.
And at Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden, they put the title back on. They put the world title back on CM Punk. And that started the 434-day run of CM Punk as the world champion. Now, the John Cena dig. So while John Cena has just put over CM Punk twice, Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, John Cena is in a program with The Rock.
Yep.
And so at WrestleMania in Miami, the main event, the last match, is The Rock versus Cena once in a lifetime. The match before that is the World Championship match with Chris Jericho and CM Punk, which I still say was a wonderful match, a great match, a lost match in WWE's promotional history. And obviously now, because CM Punk and Chris Jericho are in AEW, you'll never see them talk about that match ever. I thought that was a wonderful World Championship match.
Okay.
But in the conversation of what happened on that Miami WrestleMania, it goes Rock Cena, mm-hmm. which the match itself, I think, was a disappointment. The Rock wins that one.
Right.
The end of an era, the Hell in a Cell,
yep.
where it's Triple H versus The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels is the referee. It's mm-hmm. one of the top five matches I've ever seen live in person. It was an hour of just great drama and just great everything. The super kick into the pedigree on The Undertaker, I yep. thought that was it. And what a hell of a way to end the streak, but it didn't. And Undertaker went to 20-0. Also mm-hmm. on that show was Daniel Bryan being beaten in 18 seconds by Sheamus. Bryan comes out to a massive pop. Crowd loves him. Bryan does the kiss to AJ Lee, turns around, bro kick. Sheamus wins the world title in the opening match. And those are two references for MJF, I think. And also, a year later, when they do the Rock versus Cena twice in a lifetime match.
Yep.
CM Punk has the best match on the show.
Him and Undertaker. Yep.
So CM Punk's run post that Money in the Bank show all the way to that Undertaker match, he was second fiddle on the card. But he was the world champion, and there's a debate as to whether he should have been. They cared more about Cena Rock than anything else.
Yeah. It's a big name right there. Obviously, those two guys, Cena Rock and CM Punk pushed aside. And here he is. He goes on the sidelines for a few years now, chipping his shoulder. And the other thing, obviously, we know that this is in Chicago. Perfect scenario here for the cheap heat on MJF to make him even more of that heel here. CM Punk's hometown. Any other city where these two are going at it face-to-face, you might get a 50-50 split. MJF may actually get some cheers here on this. In Chicago, though, he's public enemy number one.
Well, and the thing, too, is that the AEW crowd is like, yep, we boo MJF no matter what he does. Maybe we ooh him or ah him, but
yeah,
we boo him. We have an appreciation for the villain that MJF is, because there's no villain right now who is just pure, like, we're going to hate you, we're going to despise you, and the fan base has drawn into that. So
yep,
that's where it is. Let's play this last chunk. This is the last words of CM Punk here in his promo battle with MJF.
And I didn't need a ring to do it.
Oh, so I started a little prematurely. My fault. So MJ, they're talking about Darby Allin and how CM Punk's first opponent back was Darby Allin, because Darby Allin was a pillar, one of the pillars of All Elite Wrestling. Punk won on his pay-per-view return. MJF obviously beat, I shouldn't say obviously, MJF beat Darby Allin, but he cheated. He used his ring to beat Darby Allin.
Yep.
You're too busy talking about how you're the most powerful of the four pillars. You don't even realize you've been replaced by Britt Baker.
Britt Baker's done more main events than MJF, by the way.
That's a great, I love that line. I just...
DMD, shout it out. Your role model.
And he put over Britt Baker.
I think you've made some excellent points. I think you talk too much and we've wasted these people's time.
No, you haven't.
No, keep it going.
They call Chicago the second city, not because there's a city that's better than it, not because there's a city that was first, and you want to call me number two? I'll proudly wear number two with a bullet, because just like Chicago, they call us the second city because when it burned to the ground, we just built right back up on top of the smoldering embers.
I love Chicago. I want to go back.
Great city.
And who's the man around here? Who's number one? Is it you? No, I don't think so. The only way you're going to be number one is if we all wait around long enough for Tony to have a daughter that you marry.
Oh!
It's a great line.
Unbelievable. The zing.
It's a great line.
Might be the zing of the year.
It's a great line.
Unbelievable. Maybe the best little, not even little, just the best attack I've heard. Wow. I mean, obviously, the Cody, when he came out for the first time, Double or Nothing 2019, that SmackDown there with the hammer, that was the visual effect of Triple H. But the verbal one here to Triple H, Jimmy, this might be the greatest of all time. The verbal middle finger to him.
And it's something that, like, it's something that all the fans know. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, the marrying the boss's daughter, and it spikes off of it. Sparks off of our conversation from last week, and I had a conversation with my friend Amir about how Triple H, why doesn't he get the necessary credit? And it's because he married the boss's daughter. So the idea is that, well, he just put himself in that position when there's been a history of wrestler bookers who have put themselves in top spots.
Yep.
But Triple H is the obvious one because it's the WWE and it's not the National Wrestling Alliance in the 80s. It's not ECW in the 90s. It's not Kevin Nash and WCW and Goldberg. Like it's a longer term perception than that.
Yeah.
So that's why Triple H doesn't get maybe the credit that he should get for being a generational, not only talent in the ring, but a roster builder. Cause he had plays in building up the NXT during its peak years, which you could say, it's just throwing cash at the super indies, but that's kind of what he did.
And also too, I mean, look at I know he came out for the Royal Rumble there in 2015, and of course he was the champion going into WrestleMania 32. Roman Reigns been off to the races ever since. He really has. And right. Not that he wasn't on his way before that, but that was kind of the real stepping stone, if you will, for that. And look how valuable Roman Reigns is right now. So Triple H does deserve a lot of credit on things like that as well.
And supposedly the rumor was is that was supposed to be John Cena and Roman Reigns in Dallas.
Right, but Cena wasn't healthy.
And Cena was injured. He wasn't going to get cleared or something like that. So
that would have been awesome.
It would. Yeah. It should have been awesome.
Yeah. This whole promo, though, I just go back to it. And 20 minutes to open up the show, everyone back and forth. It was a literal seesaw match. And the four pillars comment that, and obviously the Stephanie McMahon one there too, the Tony Khan one was fantastic. But the four pillars one, I think that gave CM Punk the win right there, in my opinion. I thought,
and that also ties into the first words he said into a microphone on a pro wrestling show in 7 years were "Thank you for the Britt Baker pop."
Yeah,
so it ties in nicely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So here's my little nugget on CM Punk.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
He almost went to Ring of Honor.
So when did he have that offer on the table, and when did he decide AEW? Do you have any intel on that?
I don't know that detail. Okay. But what I do know is that Ring of Honor had an opportunity to get CM Punk, and they chose not to.
Wow.
So in – how do I explain this? It's not going to be a wrestling analogy, so work with me here. No problem. So in the media business – there are Ring of Honor has chosen obviously its route where they're ceasing operation for full-time contracts at the end of this year with Final Battle.
Right.
So in the media world, TV and radio, there are a couple types of TV and radio stations. There is the radio station like the Sports Hub, which has higher priced talents and still makes a ton of money, right? Then there are music stations that have like one talent and it's in the morning, but they play music, but they play the music that connects to the audience locally, and they still make great money on advertising. Ring of Honor had an opportunity at CM Punk and they chose not to. They chose to go in a lesser direction because Sinclair Broadcasting has the money to offer CM Punk. And with as many times as CM Punk has mentioned Ring of Honor, I think he kind of wanted to go there.
And I was going to say, so yeah, he would have been willing to do this, obviously, because you talk about they had the chance to get him, and they just chose not to do that. Ring of Honor, talking about CM Punk here. I wonder how much money may have been on the table. Are we talking same amount that AEW, or I mean,
they could have done it, and they could have done in the same way, Mike.
Yeah,
in the same way, Mike. That Ring of Honor could have paid Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and they just chose not to. Wow. And that is a game changing decision. That is a game altering decision, because if Ring of Honor actually pays for Omega, the Bucks, and Cody, that Madison Square Garden show is very different.
Absolutely.
And that Madison Square Garden show also isn't the peak for Ring of Honor.
Yep.
That is a launching point for Ring of Honor to be what AEW is now.
Right.
And potentially.
And we're not talking about their last pay-per-view in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Final Battle, the end of an era, which is now what the show is being called. So that's something. Wow. CM Punk had a chance to go to Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor declined to do anything with it.
Good nugget there. Very good intel, Jimmy. And I think with Ring of Honor here, I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the decision came about that, you know, where they had that Zoom letting people know they were releasing talent and so forth, and then finalizing the last pay-per-view in a couple of weeks there. You know, obviously they don't get the credit all the time for being the launching pad for AEW, for what the Bucks and Cody did to, you know, to get that off the ground for AEW. Ring of Honor still, they don't always get that proper approbation to getting AEW to where it is today. You know what I mean? It's just like,
oh, I do. Not only do they not get the credit for everything that they've done as a template and a springboard for AEW stuff, like look at some of the top guys in WWE the last few years.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Danielson main event of how many WrestleMania? CM Punk was a top draw there. Cesaro is a top talent there.
Yep. You know, and they could have Kevin Owens, right?
Kevin Steen, Sami Zayn. Yep.
AJ Styles.
Of course, Kevin Steen is Kevin Owens. AJ Styles was more of an Impact TNA guy, but
he had an
early run of Ring of Honor where him and Paul London had a match in Cambridge at an armory that was a great 30-minute draw. And the only reason why it was a draw is because AJ Styles was the NWA champion at the time, and they couldn't beat him.
It's just too bad AEW couldn't latch
on. Mike, think about this. If I actually had like the ability to put real world knowledge into my brain and retain it and recite it like I just did with that wrestling
thing. Like, yeah, bless your heart. That's awesome. But the other thing is that it's a shame Ring of Honor couldn't latch on with AEW, in my opinion, to sort of be a developmental and have that handshake deal like what AEW has with New Japan and what we have, you know, with that they have the belts on there for the programming and so forth. The Ring of Honor couldn't be that AAA, if you will, NXT version for AEW. Just never happened. And that would have been a perfect, like you mentioned, the launching pad term for it right there. And it's just, it's too bad that it's going to be the end of it, end of an era.
Yeah. The Ring of Honor stuff bothers me. I think I'm going to do a whole, like, I might, leading up to that final battle week, I might just like pour out my heart on a podcast at some point.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Bryan Danielson spoke about his program with Hangman Page, said he doesn't consider it a heel turn. Quote, "So I don't know what people are talking about. I thought the people of Virginia were giving me really a tough time," said Danielson.
Yep.
"I don't think anything I said was wrong or even mean to say. Hey, congratulations, Hangman Page. You're the world champion. I'm a little disappointed it's not Kenny Omega because that's who I wanted to beat for the AEW championship. And I'm a little disappointed that you're not wrestling tonight and that you haven't been wrestling that much. And I've been wrestling every single week since I came to AEW. I don't think any of that is overly mean," Danielson laughed. "I think because people boo me, and I'm not going to lie, I do enjoy being booed. There's something just so fun about it," Danielson laughs. "So I might lean into that. It's a little bit more I can't even read somebody else's wording. This is my problem. "So I might lean into that a little bit more, but there was nothing I said that was wrong or mean or anything like that. Now, because of that, I'm going to kick all of his friends' heads in, but I think I would be doing that anyway." Danielson concluded saying, "I don't consider it a heel turn. I consider it just being me." So Danielson has some truth in that, but he's catering his commentary to where they are located.
Yes.
And that's obvious. And that's what any good professional wrestler does, because the goal is to make Adam Page be the welcoming hero, unless you're in WWE. And then it's a different story depending on who you are. But that's the deal, is that Adam Page was supposed to be the conquering hero who won this great long story, and he's the world champion now. And Danielson, staying true to himself, still got the reaction that he was supposed to get. So Danielson, bravo. Bravo, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hangman Page right there, first AEW Dynamite hometown champion after becoming champion. That's huge for him. You know, and again, I still did perceive as that as a heel turn for Bryan Danielson. Sorry, I did it again. I called him Daniel Bryan.
It's okay. You're going to do it.
Awful.
You're going to do
awful.
It. It's okay. Yeah, it's don't worry about it.
It's going to take about a year.
Call him the American Dragon if it makes you feel better.
American Dragon. I love it. Yes. And I just think that, you know, he was in Chicago this week, had the match with Colt Cabana, And Chicago, you know, they're into Brian Danielson. They are. They seem to be okay with him, and they don't perceive him, I think, as a heel, obviously, like that Virginia crowd did when Hangman Page came out and, you know, he had his little celebration after becoming champion. But for Daniel Bryan, oh my God, for Brian Danielson, the American Dragon to say that.
Power through.
Yeah, the American Dragon to say that, Jimmy, like you said, catering to it, I get it, but I think he should also own it. I think he should, you know, maybe, and he's probably being told what to say from AEW, that we don't want you to go out there to say I am a heel full-fledged. But I think it would be good to have him have this heel run here. That's a real good opportunity to continue the Hangman Page story where he overcame Kenny Omega, and now he's your top face in the company. So every Batman needs a Joker, and right there, Daniel Bryan could be your top heel. Besides MJF, I guess you could say, and CM Punk this week, but number one heel for the championship.
But this is the difference in AEW, Mike, is there's no big board of bad guys and good guys,
right,
per se. It's here are characters and the crowd is going to react. And that's how AEW looks at the booking. I think Tony Khan looks at it as matchups. And there was this thing where in ECW, where it was Taz and Shane Douglas, and Taz had just come off of beating Sabu, and Taz was turning into a good guy after having this long villain run. Shane Douglas was the most hated wrestler in ECW because he broke Pitbull number something's neck, right? So now you have a situation where Shane Douglas and Taz are having this impromptu match for Shane Douglas's TV title. And it turned, and Taz had just lost to Sabu, and Shane Douglas was like, get the F out of my ring. And Taz is like, oh, you want to talk? Okay, let's go. And they had a 3-minute match, and Taz wins the ECW TV title, thus making us forget that he just lost to Sabu, and it was Taz's first loss in like 2 years. And now Shane no longer is the TV champion, so now he can go after Terry Funk, who is the world champion. But what it was is it encapsulated two characters who are now confronted with each other. And that's what I think AEW is doing, is the Kingston Punk thing. They're both perceived as good guys.
Right.
Eddie Kingston was the favorite because he was the underdog, and the crowd at the pay-per-view let him know that Kingston, and CM Punk played into it because he listens to the crowd.
Yep.
Adam Page is in his hometown or his home state.
Home state. There,
and Danielson knows, let's play it up. Let's give the people what they want. And that's another big difference with AEW and WWE, Mike, is AEW will pay off the story. They won't drag you through it, or they will pay off. They will make you feel fulfilled for investing your time, I guess is a better way of saying it. Whereas there are things that WWE does and you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't give me this one. You have to shove JR's face right in Vince's ass.
Yeah.
Like, so in dumb. Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you got to do that. Like, you have to do that.
Right.
Things like that. But then, on the other side, Boston gets Big E cashing in. Right.
Right.
And that's the one we were at. And, that'll become a drinking game soon because I've mentioned it like 6 weeks in a row now.
Well, you know,
but the point is that WWE delivered on that one, and that's why it stood out so much, Mike.
Right.
And this is another reason why I reference it. It's like, we were there, but they called their shot Friday on SmackDown. They emphasized their shot Monday on Raw, and then they delivered it.
Yep.
And if they did more of that, you wouldn't have a situation where Twitter accounts are screen grabbing how many tickets are available for AEW in a building in Long Island. And the same building on Long Island, WWE has more tickets available to be purchased than AEW. You wouldn't have those scenarios. You wouldn't have AEW versus WWE fans because we'd all be getting this great wrestling product.
Right. Competition's good. That's the bottom line here. I think the other thing too, you know, just going back on my statement there for him to own it, you know, maybe this is just a planting of the seed too, where you will get that full heel turn eventually. And maybe right now he's just trying to be that cocky, I don't know, like, oh, I'm not a heel, and I like going out there doing my thing and so forth. But I think he will have that full turn as a heel eventually. And again, they had a great opportunity to pull the trigger on a full court press, if you will, in Virginia against Hangman Page on the, you know, the microphone situation right there after Hangman Page won the AEW championship. But maybe this is the beginning of a full-fledged heel turn for Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, against Hangman Page for when he does actually have that battle for the AEW championship.
I don't know when they're going to have that match either. It's kind of interesting that they're that might be it, or it might be their first show on TBS.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
That would make sense. That would be January 5th on TBS. You have the first Dynamite, and you have Danielson and Page, Punk and MJF. You have the finals for the women's TBS championship, and that's your show. You do something with the Lucha Brothers and somebody.
Yeah, three big matches.
And by the way, you have this, nobody's watching Rampage now, which I'm going to be right about.
Yeah, I have my words on that one.
Of Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston.
Hmm. Yep.
Think of the promos that could be in that program. And for the internet fan who hates Chris Jericho, because there are a lot of you out there, think of the sloppy ring work that they can do both put together.
they're going to be saved by the microphone, that's for sure. They're going to be saved by their words.
The promo should be good. And maybe, Mike, this is Sammy Guevara, TNT champion.
Sure.
Maybe this is Kingston's crack at a championship.
Absolutely.
As they transition, Kingston beats Jericho somehow, and then he gets a crack at Sammy Guevara. Eddie Kingston wins the title. Maybe that happens at a pay-per-view. Maybe that happens at Battle for the Belt. Maybe whatever it is. But maybe that's the track that they're going, because you know, Sammy Guevara is good. He had a match with Jay Lethal that was excellent. But, you know, the TNT title tends to move quicker.
Mm.
So maybe that's where it's going.
And that would make most sense.
A lot of AEW here, which is good. We like AEW.
That promo, man, people are going to be talking about that for a long time, Jimmy.
And we talked about it for 30 minutes of a 21-minute promo that we only talked, you know, played maybe 8 minutes of it, 10 minutes of it.
So
there were some SmackDown things that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of zip through these things, right? They being WWE, SmackDown did a battle royal to determine the next challenger for Roman Reigns' Universal Championship. Sami Zayn won it by last eliminating Jeff Hardy. Sami never got to celebrate the win because of the announcement of Brock Lesnar returning to next week's SmackDown was more important. Now, this is the second time, at least that I can remember, that Brock Lesnar is upstaging Sami Zayn. Do you remember the other time?
Upstaging Sami Zayn, Brock Lesnar.
The 2019
Lesnar.
Money in the Bank men's ladder match.
Oh!
Brock Lesnar hung Sami in the back room or beat him up or did something and replaced him in the match and won the briefcase in Hartford in 2019.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that.
So there's a reference point there if they want to use it. But Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns on a TV SmackDown, I'm in for that.
That's up, yeah.
There were some subtleties of stories that WWE is telling you, right? If you're looking for the clues, and the WWE fan generally doesn't look for clues on things. Because they're so like ingrained with
recap package,
Michael Cole screaming, Jimmy Smith screaming, Vic Joseph, who is a terrible announcer, who's hurting NXT because NXT is having really good matches with Carmelo Hayes and because Melo doesn't miss Tommaso Ciampa, like they've got a good product going, but Vic Joseph is a terrible announcer. And it's hurting the product, but Michael Cole loves him and he's friends with Corey Graves.
You don't like Vic Joseph, huh?
No, he hurts the product. He definitely hurts the product. He was hurting Raw. Paul Heyman had this wonderful vision for Raw, and his announcing didn't help it at all. It didn't enhance it at all.
I think he's okay. I mean, wow, you're really burying him, though. But I think he's a lot better than,
Adam Kaufman Light.
Well, yeah, even Adnan Verk, that dude was a disaster. Yeah. So I think that is bottom of the barrel right there. This guy, I think he's okay. He's trying. Got to give it to him. But then the other dude there, yeah, the other
Trying. Give me results, Mike.
All right. Okay. All right.
Trying is doing the basics. Trying is just watching a sporting
event.
You
want him hit a home run. I got right? it. Yeah. I think he's okay. I don't think he's that bad.
I mean, some people don't even try and watch the sporting event. So, I mean, they just read up on everything. It's fine. Yeah. Like, that's your choice. You have to sleep with yourself at night for your lack of effort.
Nah, you know.
It's okay.
No, it's interesting. I think he's okay. I don't think he's that bad. He's right, a lot better than the other dude, though. But yeah, go ahead.
So the subtle stories that WWE is telling you, Drew McIntyre was not part of this battle royal. Correct. He was in the opening match. He won a tag match with Jeff Hardy. So there's no McIntyre in it. Sheamus makes fun of him because his name isn't on the list. So all the entrants for this battle royal are in the ring. Here comes McIntyre swinging his sword, cleans the ring, and during the break, the commentary is like, he left on his own. So here's what I think the tease is, Mike. It's Drew versus the authority figures.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Pearce, Sonya Deville, somebody who doesn't like him. Yep. Or does Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns have influence on the matchmakers, on Adam Pearce? Did they tell this subtle story? Is this clue one to Roman Reigns is avoiding Drew McIntyre because Paul Heyman, the wise man, told Adam Pearce, keep McIntyre out of this. And so Paul Heyman, the wise man, the trade-off was there's no Drew McIntyre in this battle royal, but Brock Lesnar is reinstated. And so Heyman talked to Sonya Deville, talked to Vince McMahon, but with the Drew McIntyre thing, talk to Adam Pearce. That's what I think that they're telling you without telling you this.
Okay.
That's just what I think. I think there's subtleties in there. That's just what I think.
And we know that Paul Heyman and Drew McIntyre outside of WWE, they're pretty close. And Paul Heyman, he took care of Drew McIntyre to get back into reality, if you will, or back in the ring, I should say. So there's a soft spot for him there. So I could see that. I didn't think about it that way. You know, he is just getting the move over to SmackDown 2. I guess you could say he would be that top challenger, right, for Roman Reigns eventually as a top babyface in SmackDown. But that's interesting, Jimmy, now that you say that, because the imminent return here of Brock Lesnar, so much to throw into that right there. Could Drew McIntyre be the guy to take the title off of Roman Reigns down the line?
At WrestleMania in Dallas. I've been on this, and maybe he doesn't lose to McIntyre. No,
maybe
Roman retains against McIntyre in Dallas, but the reason why is because Roman loves McIntyre so much. They have such a good relationship, right? Yep. And Vince once dubbed Drew McIntyre as the chosen one.
Yep.
Drew did business. When you're leaving the territory, Mike, the tradition is you put everybody over on the way out.
Right.
Look at how he put over Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania and the program going forward. Look at how he put over Big E at the Saudi show. So Drew McIntyre, I think to prevent a villain turn, I think they wanted to turn him. So Drew did business. If you look at how he's been booked on SmackDown so far, there hasn't been really a threat to Drew McIntyre.
No.
But here's an opportunity for him to get a title shot. He's not in the Battle Royal. So why is that? And the answer might be is that there's a story here that they've started giving you clues on.
Yeah.
Where Adam Pearce doesn't like him. Adam Pearce has a side deal with Heyman. Roman talked to Adam Pearce through Heyman, said, you know, keep this guy out of the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of options here.
Mm-hmm.
If they have thought it through, because I think that based on the pace that WWE is going with Brock, I think Brock is Roman's challenger for the Rumble.
Well, okay, so yeah, but also you could do that for New Year's Day, that pay-per-view as well. And then
Mike, when does Brock Lesnar fight? He fights at Dome shows.
Yeah, I know.
It's on the Saudi shows,
right?
You're right.
Yeah, it's got to be that. It can't be Atlanta. You're right. Yeah, maybe a triple threat or something for Roman Reigns at the New Year's Day pay-per-view. But, yeah, Brock would be the easy answer for Royal Rumble. You're right about that. I'll give you that.
I think, I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
The next three of the next four pay-per-views, the Dome shows, we'll say, the stadium shows.
Royal Rumble.
Rumble is Brock Lesnar versus Roman. The Saudi show is Goldberg versus Roman. Or it's Goldberg versus Big E.
Yeah,
but for the sake of this discussion, let's say it's Goldberg versus Roman.
Okay.
That wipes Goldberg out, right? Goldberg's now done.
Gone.
And the internet can rejoice.
Yep.
Then you've got WrestleMania, which we're all still trying to figure out. If it's not The Rock, who is it? Drew McIntyre. And it's solely based on the relationship that I feel like they have together, where if Roman, who, by the way, did an interview and was like,
Michael,
yeah, I'm not long for this.
Yes. And I wanted, and I'm so,
and I just read the transcript of it. I didn't hear it. I saw it kind of late today.
Yes. And he talked
about
that
was interesting.
Possibly going to the movies, right? Doing Hollywood stuff on the Michael Kay show. And for him to say that, Jimmy, it puts a lot of things into perspective here. Did you hear Mark Henry on his Busted Open show? I heard a little bit.
I did not. Please let me in the audience know.
Okay, so briefly, he didn't say it would be Drew McIntyre, but what Mark Henry did say, quote unquote, he thinks that there could be someone on the current roster who WWE has ready to go to take down Roman Reigns as early as WrestleMania. And it just, now you mentioned that whole scenario there with McIntyre. He could be the guy to go up against Roman at WrestleMania. It just kind of hit the light bulb off. And here he is right here. You're coming up on 400 plus days. You're going to have Brock Lesnar go up against Roman Reigns. And he's going to break Brock Lesnar's record for most days as Universal Champion. That's on their way right there. And if Roman Reigns is saying this right here, connect the dots, folks, that he may not be long for pro wrestling and going to Hollywood to join his cousin, The Rock, sooner than later, then Drew McIntyre could be the guy to take that torch and be the one to be the next Universal Champion at WrestleMania. Because in the end, Jimmy, WrestleMania, you want to have a feel-good moment, right?
You want that. That's the goal, right? I don't know who beats Roman, right? McIntyre's as good a candidate as they have currently.
Yep.
If it wasn't going to be Edge, and
I know,
Edge is 47, it didn't make sense. McIntyre's 36, 37, right?
Right around there, yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark, right?
Mm-hmm.
The McIntyre thing, the chosen one, right? He wins the Rumble in Houston. He's the guy who eliminates Brock Lesnar in that match after, I think he was the 13th, 14th entrant, something like that. After Brock goes through the first 13, 14 guys, McIntyre's the guy who eliminates him, and then he wins the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Last eliminating Roman Reigns. Then he goes to WrestleMania in the Performance Center. He beats Brock Lesnar. Right?
Yep.
So now, using that logic, Drew McIntyre on his resume can say that at WrestleMania, he beat Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys who beat The Undertaker.
Yep. Yep.
That's a hell of a resume point.
Drew McIntyre, 16th entrant in 2020. That's pretty, yeah, right in that there. And, you know, also awarded because here you are, a global pandemic shuts down WrestleMania, and that was going to be his moment right there in Tampa Bay. And then, of course, the high school gym. And this past year, I didn't think he, you know, he didn't win the match at WrestleMania 37. Thought that would be a reward for him to kind of have that WrestleMania moment, if you will, in front of the crowd. And now this would be the ultimate cherry on top for him. 100,000 people, Dallas, night one or night. Well, if it's going to be Roman Reigns,
night two,
it's
got to be night two.
It's got to be night two. Yeah, that's going to close your show. And this is, that would be the guy right there. Has to be.
Keep keep this in mind about the Roman McIntyre relationship. Roman's first WrestleMania back from leukemia was in New York. It was against McIntyre.
Okay.
That was a handpick by Roman.
Really? Okay.
That's what I believe.
Interesting. Wow.
So when it came to the Rumble time, and Roman was the last person eliminated by McIntyre, I think Roman was more than happy to do it and do whatever it took to get McIntyre to that spot.
And if he's got that respect for Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns has a respect for him right there. That's tough to turn down to. And Paul Heyman, for that matter, too. There's a lot of power right there. Those two guys.
And I can talk myself into Drew McIntyre leaving Dallas as the Universal Champion. I can talk myself into it.
And you know what, Jimmy? Even going further, I don't want to go too further down the line, but I think that would eventually reopen the door for a return of John Cena somewhere, too.
Oh, Cena's doing WrestleMania. Cena said before his SummerSlam match with Roman, like, hey, if I win this title, the next time you see me is Dallas for WrestleMania.
I was alluding to him becoming champion. But yes, I'm with you there in Mania, yeah. So a lot of possibility there. So the
Atlanta pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
Because I left that one out, and I left that one out purposely.
No,
it won't be Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's gonna get a crack sometime in December, I think. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing.
Jeff Hardy makes sense.
This past week.
Jeff Hardy makes sense, and here's why. Jeff Hardy keeps talking about having a match with Roman.
Yeah.
He did it with me months ago. He's done it in different interviews.
Yep.
So it makes sense that Jeff Hardy is the runner up here to Sami Zayn. But it also makes me think that they're going to have this match at some point, and whether it's at the Atlanta pay-per-view day one or whether it's on some random SmackDown. Mm-hmm. The match is going to happen. Yeah. Make it a ladder match. And Roman beating Jeff Hardy is the obvious end result. But it's a match that I think people want to see.
Yeah.
And I also think that Roman beating Jeff Hardy helps Roman slightly. It doesn't hurt Jeff Hardy at all.
No.
But it's a fun match, and it makes a lot of sense, like, from a fan anticipation standpoint. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I stand on that one.
You know, similar to Cesaro earlier this year, we knew Roman would beat him, but still, it was a good match. Mm-hmm. Roman and Daniel Bryan, for that matter, another good match. So things like that build up the resume, give Jeff Hardy a little more leverage to say he was in the ring with the Universal Champion Roman Reigns, who they've built the company around over the last 5-6 years, for that matter, and that's historic for him.
So one little detail to the Battle Royal, which I liked, is Sami Zayn eliminates Jeff Hardy. A few weeks ago, Jeff Hardy, by beating Sami Zayn in a match, removed him from the Survivor Series team.
Mm.
Little details, if you're paying attention, WWE Universe.
Yeah.
Little details.
Interesting.
The only other thing is we're over the hour marker at this point. And there's a lot of stuff still on the table that I wanted to get to, and maybe we'll do a rapid fire thing here.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where the Sonya Deville issues with Naomi go. They've been long playing this, and now there's a Sasha Banks factor in it.
Yep.
Allegedly, I had read somewhere, and I can't give proper credit because I don't know who to give proper credit to.
Mm-hmm.
At one point before the Money in the Bank ladder match this year, Sonya Deville was written in to win the Money in the Bank match.
Oh, wow.
I saw that reported somewhere. I couldn't tell you where because I don't remember it because it was from a while ago.
Hmm.
So they're built. So Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville obviously have in-ring wrestling in their backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the Sonya Deville thing is going to build up to a match with Sasha Banks. I think it's going to build up to one with Naomi, but maybe it's Sonya and X against Naomi and Sasha Banks. And Sonya Deville hires somebody to be a tag team partner or something like that. But Sonya Deville has been excellent in this power authority role.
Yeah.
And her ring work was good. If you remember her program with Mandy Rose,
yep.
all of her stuff was good. It was snug. It was believable, and her promos were excellent. So maybe there's an in-ring return coming for Sonya Deville. So where are they going with this Naomi Sasha Banks thing? That's WWE Universe. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a story that they're telling you. Pay attention.
Of course. And you know, it started there when she was a special guest referee for the Shayna Baszler, Naomi match there, and Deville was a special guest ref, and just all kind of took off from there. So yeah, that would be very, and now with Sasha Banks right in here too, easy way for Sasha to, you know, she's already at that prime level right there, main event. You could make this a triple threat. You can make it a triple threat, right? Would you do that?
I'd rather it be a one-on-one thing.
Go one-on-one-ish?
Hit off one-on-one. One-on-one or a tag match. Like if Sony, if Sony's got a hired goon, I'm into it.
Yeah, okay. But she's been awesome as Pierce's assistant and just a good heel behind the scenes. It's good stuff.
Austin Theory was the one who stole the egg. He got a championship match against Big E. I would have rather it had been Sami Zayn. I would have rather have been somebody who would have been a legit threat to beat Big E for the title. This indicates to me where Austin Theory is doing a selfie with Vince McMahon, is doing skits with Vince McMahon, that somebody is very high on him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an indication to see what he would do in that spot in a match with the WWE champion. I'm fine with it being a young guy. I don't know that I would have had him as the big egg reveal for, you know, a championship match, but it feels like they're trying Austin Theory. So somebody is into Austin Theory doing the selfie gimmick, which was an NXT gimmick of Tyler Breeze.
And it's working. Like it's you know, he's getting that social media attention. Now you get one with Vince McMahon on there. How many people can say they have a selfie with Vince McMahon? That's pretty damn awesome, obviously. So yeah, to your point, someone being high on him, this is a really cool opportunity to see how Austin Theory will take off and run with this here and hold on to that golden egg too. Hold on to it. Almost like, you know, like Owen Hart.
Spoiler alert. He gave it back.
But
it's in the household of a WWE employee already.
But I mean, you could have that whole, I'm talking, when I mentioned the Owen Hart thing, go back to something like that with him carrying around those Slammy Awards. Bring the egg out there. Make it known that he was the guy that got it. That's what
it's
I would.
It's already
do.
In the home office of a WWE, a high ranking member of the WWE creative team.
That sucks. I would have loved that. That would have been awesome.
I love you.
Of course it is.
and we know that it'll be in the mortgage guy's house in 5 years.
He gets all the stuff there, Mr. Conrad.
Yes. There was something on Undertaker comparing Omos to Andre the Giant. I now don't care about that because we're over an hour.
Good interview though with the Undertaker.
Undertaker, calm down a little bit. Okay, calm down a little bit.
Whoa, boy.
Compares Omos to Andre the Giant.
Well, with the size, he did make it clear that there will never be another Andre the Giant, but he did say he has that potential with the size of him and so forth. And I think he's been booked fairly well with AJ Styles to have that push right there. And Undertaker, obviously, very high on AJ Styles too. His last match ever was with him, so I think that speaks volumes right there for Taker to say something like that. But regardless, so check out the interview on The Bump. It was pretty good. Undertaker. Not often you hear him talk, so it's good stuff right there.
Omos is the new Braun Strowman, right? Braun's size, Braun's credibility, all that stuff. When Andre was up and coming, Andre was doing moves from the top rope. He was doing drop kicks. He was much more athletic. When have we seen Omos do a dropkick?
Yeah, I don't think ever. And when we do,
have we seen Omos come off the top rope?
No, that's not going to happen.
Or if it has happened, it's not memorable to me.
Maybe Taker was just told to say that too.
Taker is a hype man.
He's working for the company, right? So he may have been told to say that. But, you know, he did say, let's not ever bring back, you know, there will never be another Andre the Giant. But he's got the height and the size right there.
Last WWE detail here.
Yeah.
Edge is coming back to Raw on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They have also teased Roman Reigns will be at Raw on Monday. So they are throwing. So we're in the last weeks of the ratings period for television and radio. So you're going to see some things. You're going to see some crossovers because the brand extension is only convenient when it's convenient for them. But Edge and Roman scheduled for Raw. So they're throwing their best at Brock Lesnar scheduled for SmackDown on Friday.
Right. And this is typically the slowest time of year, I guess you could say, for WWE.
Oh, Mike, before you get that, you had a thought on Edge.
Oh, yeah.
You would have thought in our notes on Edge. And let's close the show with this.
So I could see Edge coming back to Raw, which where he is now, and then going right after Big E, being a heel. You know, because here he is. The draft was, a little over a month ago now, right? Big E is so over with the crowd. He had a good bout with Roman at SmackDown, and, you know, he's still being that happy-go-lucky former member of the New Day and everything, champion. But now he needs that. He needs that real heel to go after him there. It's a great opportunity. That could be your main event for New Year's Day.
Might be a main event for New Year's Day is Edge versus Big E. Or it's part of a multi-person match.
Or multi-person. Right. Seth Rollins.
There also is a play where Seth Rollins gets the title from Big E because he's got that de facto money in the bank, and then Edge gets it from Rollins, and away we go. But we've talked about that scenario before. Yeah. But an Edge-Big E program, I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
However they get there, I like the idea of it because I still want to see – I want Big E to have more of a run.
Yes.
With the title because so WWE did their Black Friday shopping thing. All of the plaques are now sold out.
Nice.
So a few weeks ago, I was like, the Big E plaque that I got this week was like number 67 of 500.
Mm-hmm.
All those plaques are now sold out.
That's good. Great.
So people were waiting for the sale to get them, which, yep. God bless you.
Smart
people. Yeah.
And if they're there, jump on it.
But it was kind of like a warning. It was hey, pay attention to this because maybe Big E's metrics on the business side aren't great.
Right.
And so this might be a warning that Big E's not long for the title, but sold out everything. Even at a discounted price, they sold out everything.
That's fantastic.
That's the thing that's important. So.
Yeah. You got to jump on a sale in WWE when they have them, especially for the titles, folks.
Especially for the belts. How many belts do you have?
17.
You have 17? Okay.
Yeah. How are you? 20?
I think I'm at 19 or 20.
Nice.
I've got a birthday gift scheduled for February.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Let's just say it's all elite.
Oh, all right.
Tucker's going to weigh 14 pounds. Pretty excited about it.
That a boy? Is it a boy or girl?
It's whatever gender looks pretty on my bookshelf. It's as whatever.
As long as it's healthy, Jimmy, that's all we care about.
Well, the thing about it is that, like, you know, sometimes I'll post clips on video, but over my shoulder, I have a bookcase and it has the Roman Reigns Universal Blue.
Mm-hmm.
It has the Winged Eagle, which has a Macho Man plate. And then on the shelf below that is the AW $20 kids toy. And then next to that is the Matt Taven Purple Rain Ring of Honor title.
Nice. And he's
by the time I get the AEW title in February, Ring of Honor will be no longer in existence.
Wow.
So I'll find a new spot for the Matt Taven Purple Rain.
Wow.
The kids toy AEW belt will be obsolete because I'll have this 14-pound leather, zinc, gold-plated, pretty diamond thing that will need a shelf. So it'll go there.
Excellent. Love it. Can't wait to see it.
So I think I'll be at 20.
And we'll know the gender reveal soon.
I could. I have a spreadsheet of all the belts that I have and where they are currently residing because some of them are split across different I've put some belts on loan, so they're not sitting in my closet.
Oh yeah, remember?
Nobody cares about this right now. We're rambling.
It's all good. Yeah, we're done. Long, so. Good night.
So next week, next week we'll have a lot to recap because we'll have Edge returning, we'll have Brock Lesnar news, AEW will put on a good show. So that'll be next week. Wrestling Inside the Ropes is brought to you by Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Make sure to check them out for all of your holiday shopping needs. And each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Good show.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.